Blog Talk Radio.
Crazy what I'm about to say. Some
Good evening, we're back with you. We got everything together, so we're going to go ahead, move into the show like we were saying earlier. I don't know if you guys caught it or not, but first off, we want to say good evening, as always, on this good Sunday. We all here again, do what we do. I don't know if you guys want to say anything, or we want to leave it at what it is, as far as with the first summer kickoff we presented.
Just what we said earlier, that, you know, success. Everyone enjoyed themselves. They had food. They got full. They had plenty to drink. It was hot, but outside of that, I think everybody had fun.
Yeah, me personally, I just want to say thanks to everybody who came out. Thanks to everybody who couldn't make it out but still supported. Congratulations to the TV winner.
Right.
Miss Linda Mack, we're going for it.
And I was telling someone yesterday, I said, you know what, I believe Ms. Linda Mack was the first person there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it just goes to show the early bird gets the worm, right? So with that, though, I mean, we enjoyed ourselves, and we're glad for the support and the continued, love we get from everyone. And we're going to continue to try to do things positive. That's it, no more, no less. We'll move forward with the show today. Boys, y'all got some pleasantries before we get into today's In the Know.
Good evening.
Hey there. What
up, world? Look, I'm going to tell y'all a secret. He gave y'all a little more today because he had technical difficulties. They throwed him off. He said, good evening. How y'all doing and all that? This is just an $8. So we're going to move on to the end of the note. First topic. See, you hit on this the other day, too. We were sitting there. Our City Hall show canceled after one season. The series had recently been renewed for a second season by CBS Television, distribution. But following the renewal, the show was downgraded to a different time slot in some markets, making it not financially viable to continue the show. So the show actually, because when we first seen it, we was like, man, how did I get canceled? You know, I was thinking like, I thought it was okay. I didn't watch it daily. On the regular.
Right.
But I thought it was an okay show. I mean, of course it wasn't. It was a different time back then when he came out the first time.
Yeah, it was.
Compared to now. So, I mean, but still it was informative and it was a positive show from what I see.
Yeah, at the same time you had a different audience.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of people who's interested in
right
what Arsenio Hall's show was.
Right. Today.
Right. I'm not going to say we. Not going to categorize any specific group of people, but the audience is just saying what people expect from TV is different.
That's true. But did you ever check out Arsenio Hall?
I'm processing this. I saw a few episodes of it. I've probably seen more from clips on YouTube than actual episodes. But, I mean, it was what I expected from Arsenio Hall.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He's a very successful, empowered African-American male. And that was the type of show he gave.
Right.
So I can see that not being, what were the words they used? Financially
viable.
Viable.
Yeah. At this time, see, when Arsenio came back in the 90s, hip-hop was just coming in. He was introducing a lot of things. The world was open. It was really open back then. My thing, too, and I'm kind of deterred from what I was saying, but my thing, too, is I've always been curious to know how do late-night shows get so many ratings anyway. I don't stay up that late to be watching no late-night show. I might be up, but if I'm up, I don't really want to watch a late. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, like, the average household after the news, and this is just me speculating, I would figure shit down. No?
I think when it's interesting enough, doesn't matter.
That's true.
Put it this way, like when you watching a football game, you might have to go to work at 7, but it's a late night game.
Right.
You're just doing it to the third quarter at 3 o'clock.
That makes sense. And in live all this, our scenario, he said, and I quote, "When I started this adventure with CDT and Tribune, we all knew it would be a challenge. Excuse me. I'm gratified for the year we've had and proud of the show we created." End quote. classy as always. You know what I mean? That's Arsenio. I mean, he is a comedian, so he has his moments, but he's always been a pretty much stand-up dude. So I respect that. I wish the show could have stayed, but I also understand it's hard now to remake anything that we had before now, because now it's so different. It really is. I mean, we understand it, but where our audience is not as big as it should be either, because it's kind of caught up in the day.
Think about it. Arsenio Hall of old was kind of like our news.
It was relevant to us. You're right.
He broadcast the news that was relevant to us. Artists is relevant to us. Nowadays, we're not so much into news.
No.
We're into drama. We're into, you know, the next biggest fad. We're into...
I pose a question to y'all. Do you think the unlimited access that we have nowadays as far as social media and the new internet, could that have affected it a little bit? Like you just said, he was our news. Now our news is accessible whenever. Between, you know, Facebook and Twitter and all these other kind of social outlets. World Star and all this kind of stuff. We kind of get our news on a daily.
Yeah.
You know, we don't necessarily have to wait for Arsenio Hall to come on.
And I would even venture to say on that bone to piggyback also, but I would even venture to say if I created a show and it reflected what's in social media and on MTO, Media Takeout,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you if that's where he would have went with his show, we wouldn't be talking about him being canceled.
Right.
So, yeah, it plays a huge part because that's what's in your face every day, all day now.
Which proves the point that because his show was not based on that,
right,
he couldn't get the ratings that
he needed. Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm not promoting negativity.
Right.
I'm not promoting. I'm causing. I don't want to say specifically for the intellectual, but it's not for the average viewer.
Yeah.
True, because our requests have changed. We don't want the same thing. So, I mean, it's unfortunate, but I'm sure he'll find something.
Yeah, he'll bounce back.
He has a niche.
Yeah, he'll bounce back. So, good luck, Arsenio, and we're praying for you, man. You keep doing what you're doing. It's positive. Next topic, Stacey Dash. Y'all, everybody knows Stacey Dash. Join Fox News as a contributor. The Clueless star, known for her conservative views, will offer cultural analysts and commentary in various daytime and primetime programs. In 2012, Dash sparked backlash when she endorsed Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney. Do you guys find, now I ask this question because automatically because Stacey Dash is I'm measuring my words, so that's why the tallest.
I'll see you.
But automatically, because Stacey Dash is seen as a beautiful woman, which is that's given.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also attached to the black community.
Mm-hmm.
So, ethnicity-wise, she's considered to be African American. I'm not sure if she's mixed or what. I'm not sure, totally sure. I know Dame Dash is her cousin, so I know she has to have something. So, is it a problem that she's on Fox News? Do you feel upset?
Me personally?
And her views on, like, she endorsing Mitt Romney, does that bother you?
No. That's a choice. Why should I get upset about her choice?
And I understand that. And that was the same reason when I seen this, I was like, okay, if anybody else had joined Fox News, would it have been a big deal? Is it putting the paper to throw it in your face, or is it putting the paper to let you know it's an openness in the world?
Can I ask you a question? Since we're on this subject. Let's say you were raised to believe that blue,
mm-hmm.
is right. Yep. All your life you've been believing blue. And you're blue to your core, right?
Right.
Somebody comes up from a white side well, let's just say Orange.
Mm-hmm.
Orange side comes up, and he, historically, Orange may have gone against everything that you believe in, everything
mm-hmm.
that you fought for. But now there's somebody that's on the Orange side that you agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And you agree more strongly with Orange now than you do Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Do you stay with Blue simply because it's what I've been trained to do? Or because this person individually on the Orange side, I agree with, and they have more of, what am I trying to say? They have addressed more of the issues that matter to me,
yeah.
And I stand more on their side than I do on Blue's side. Do I now go with Orange or do I stay with Blue?
Personally, for me, I'm going with where it makes more sense. So, yeah, I'm going with Orange. The question was raised, and I know individually we probably don't see it that way, but the collective whole ain't going to get there.
Because we tend to go with history.
Right.
As opposed to...
You know what's happening? You know what's crazy with this? You know what's happening? And I was explaining this to you a while back. Politics has become racial.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's almost as we see the government as this big powerhouse. But the truth of the matter is split. It's good and evil in it, too. I mean, there's never no just straight out, this is what it is, we're going to work across the board. It's so much so that you figure blacks are Democrats, whites are Republicans.
But
the same thing. Go ahead.
The good and evil are on both sides of the
Yeah, on both sides, yeah.
I mean, there is no one side.
No, it's good and one side.
Good and evil on both sides.
Yeah. But I'm saying, why brothers split where you already got good and evil and everything anyway? Why put a split? Why do we have parts?
Why is there a split to begin with?
Yeah, why do we have parts? And the crazy thing is, people don't even understand the real true history of the parties. Republicans were for the blacks in the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, it changed, and it might change again. Because it's up to what you want, what side you pick. That has nothing to do with who will run the government the best. It just comes down to who I like. I done went on her. Oh boy.
Well, it's just my point. It's not so deep as far as Ms. Dash. My whole thing is I was just shocked that was her personality anyway. I've ever known her as Blue.
Right.
And the roles that she's played on movies. So just to hear that she's a conservative and that Fox News would even take a chance on her in that matter is just surprising to me.
Or it reveals they're clueless.
Yeah. Or they think she's clueless and, you know. I know.
Either way, I mean, for them, it's bliss.
There you go.
And then, I mean, come on, Fox. Here I am caught up in the tit for tat thing, but they want to stick it to you every chance they get, too. So we get a popular black actress on here to work for us. Yeah, it's good both ways.
There you go.
Yeah, but I mean for her, it's an accomplishment, and we congratulate you in it. It's an accomplishment. I mean that's what you believe, and you own as one of the biggest political news outlets. Hey, go for it.
That's like, would we be mad if this was an issue of BET versus MTV?
Right.
Would we be mad because she went to MTV? No, that's where she's supposed to go.
But would it be an uproar or backlash? Yeah.
Because
people that color black and white again.
Yeah.
So we mad at Sway. Then Sway went MTV. You know Sway the
Sway
went MTV is, but he
now he's Sway in the morning.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Who at BET has what do you have?
You know.
It's about the best career decision. And if this is the best career decision
for her.
Or her.
Yeah, that's why I support you. Because you want somebody to support you when you're making your personal decisions. Oh,
yeah.
Makes sense. Next topic. Because we were on roll. Station, you took us there, girl. Next topic. I'm rolling through my topics and I'm looking for things. And this came across. It's a poll was done across nationally on Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
The question was, and this question was posed to... I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to break it down in categories so we can see the difference. But the question was posed, if Jesus suddenly came back to earth today, would he approve or disapprove of modern Christianity?
Hmm.
On a national level, 9% said he would approve. 87% said he would disapprove. 4% said depending on which denomination. So they was kind of, basically they were saying, well, you know, I'm not going to take a stand.
Baptist might be all
right,
but Methodist, I don't know about
exactly.
What was the disapproval rate?
Disapproval rating was 87% national. Now we can go to Florida. The approval rate for Florida of the question, which would mean that Jesus would approve of modern-day Christianity, was 11% in Florida. 86% disapproval. Then it was a 3% difference in which denomination. African-Americans, the approval rate was 8%. As far as God would disapprove, Jesus would disapprove on modern day Christianity. And the disapproval rate was 90%. With a differentiation in denomination of 2%. White Americans, approval for saying God would approve of today's Christianity, Jesus, I keep saying the wrong name, but Jesus, was 96% for the white.
Yes, he would?
No. 9%. Yes. No. Oh, I said this wrong. I'm sorry. 9%.
Okay.
9%. And 88% disapproval. 4% on denomination, the differential. Native Americans. The disapproval amount for them was 93%.
Mm-hmm.
With a 7% approval, saying that he would approve of it. And no percentage, no differentiation whatsoever in denomination. Pacific Islanders. I took this to me, Jamaica, Bahamas. Because why would you say Pacific Islanders? I've never seen it. You ever seen that before on a category?
I have.
Doesn't mean someone from an island, right? I would assume.
I was, Hawaii.
Well, Hawaii is a part of the United States, so that's national.
Oh, no, maybe we should go to research on Pacific Islanders.
I never seen it before, but this is my connotation of it. It was someone on an island, of an island descent.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the Caribbeans are mostly on the island. They said that Jesus would approve 4% of modern-day Christianity, and his disapproval rate would be 96%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are differentiations between the
No difference in denominations?
Nothing. Now, looking back on that and seeing that for what it's worth, what do you think? Like, I thought, now me, honestly, a 9% approval, and then at first I looked at this, and I looked at it objectively. And how do we necessarily know that Jesus wouldn't approve of those that are leading the way he's supposed to? We just automatically saying he disapproved because we don't agree with the religion we may be interpreting, which comes to this different term, the denomination. Take denomination out of it. Understand spirituality.
That's the whole problem.
You get what I'm saying? So when you look at it and you see a 9% approval, you're like, oh, that's high, that Jesus would approve of Christianity. The truth is, it probably should be higher. Because if you honestly believe you following Jesus the way you're supposed to, why would you disapprove in the concept of someone else?
Okay, see, I'm confused. I thought the poll was the high number was people who thought that he would disapprove.
Right. And this is the challenge I'm opposing to this question. Instead of just taking disapprove being correct, saying that Jesus would disapprove of today's modern-day Christianity, let's back off from that. Let's look at it and say, why would Jesus disapprove?
Why? Because it's something, my opinion?
Yeah.
It's not God. It's not.
Let me do this for you, Coach. Has modern-day Christianity, has Christianity changed, or have we changed the interpretation of Christianity?
We changed Christianity to fit us, I think, and that's where people are saying that he would disapprove. Right. They're being honest with themselves.
Right.
They're being truthful
with
themselves.
Right. And I get that.
You know,
I get that.
You know, I may call myself a Christian, but I don't think that my Christianity would be approved.
Right. And that, and that's,
Christianity, man.
Right.
Is no different story from Islam, from some of the other religions.
Buddha.
Okay. Yeah. Jesus Christ is the center of the religion, but it's a religion nonetheless.
Right.
And the religion is what puts the space between you and God.
Right.
Even though Jesus is at the center of this religion, that religion still keeps the space there. Until you get rid of it, religion, get over religion, and learn spirituality, accept spirituality. I think that's where the disapproval comes in. You got lost in all the rules and the this and the that and the boom and the boom and the boom and the boom. You didn't even pay attention to the point. The point is get to know him.
I get you. I totally agree.
Yeah. How can we, let me ask this question that I'm done. How can you have so many different denominations, different separations under the same body? Why is there an AME? Why is there a Baptist?
It's the same reason I asked you, why is it we have parties in the government? If we all understand the same thing, why do we have to separate ourselves? And I get what you're saying. And so that's why I said, did Christianity change, or did we change the interpretation? Because I don't know if Christianity was ever. Do you think, so you believe in the beginning Christianity was, and we're talking about biblical, you're not talking about man-made stuff or man-made understanding. When they say stuff went about it, it said biblical. Do you think that the intent for Christianity to be separate in the way it is?
No, there is one God.
Okay.
And that's what he was trying to tell us.
So that's what I'm saying. Do you think he would disapprove of
this?
He would disapprove of the stance of their understanding of Christianity. I'm still asking the question from Christianity. This Jesus asked you about his Christianity, not me asking you about the Christianity I live in.
Wait, is Jesus asking you about his Christianity, or is Jesus asking me about my relationship with his Father? That's where the question comes.
We gotta title it because you can't just say I'm talking about that. And Christianity is the name that's been put with.
It's another religion, dog, is what I'm saying. I don't think Jesus is gonna come back concerned with Christianity. He's gonna come back concerned with the heart of man and how it relates to God. Period.
I get what you're saying.
So that's what.
So let's take Christianity out. And I'm looking at this question, and I probably looked at it and was answering it from the wrong standpoint because I wasn't seeing Christianity. I was seeing spirituality. So now with that being, that question being, with spirituality,
yes, there you go.
Would you think he would disagree, or would you think he would agree? Because you have some people who understand spirituality, so why would he be upset? His work is being done.
In understanding spirituality, I don't need religion.
Right. But the question came, if Jesus suddenly came back to earth today,
right,
would he approve or disapprove of spirituality?
How can you disapprove of spirituality?
No. Well, you know, because it said modern. You're right.
I guess I'm getting confused in the question.
Because I tried to turn the question, and this was just me doing this on my own.
Okay.
Because I seen the question being so flat-based. If I'm asking you what Jesus approved of modern-day Christianity, everybody knows he ain't going to approve of what's going on.
Yeah.
But let's look at it outside that box.
So basically what it sounds like we are saying, and I'm in agreement with y'all, because y'all basically saying the same thing.
Same thing, yeah.
What I'm getting from what you're saying is that, no, he would not, he cannot disagree with spirituality, because spirituality is the goal of everyone.
Right.
All right, to have that relationship with God. But what he will disagree with is the way that we are using Christianity in today's society.
Right.
Yeah.
How could he? There's no, of course he's going to disagree with it, because it ain't his.
It's not
his. Right.
It ain't
right.
His father.
Yeah. Right. You put his name on it, but
right.
It don't belong to
right.
Him.
No.
Makes a lot of
I
sense.
Don't believe that. I can't believe that.
Makes a lot of sense. We are close out today's end of the note with, as always, on a good note. And here at TOAB, from all of us, we want to congratulate all the graduates this weekend, locally, worldwide, college, high school, Pre-K, what is it now, PBK, yeah, all that. We want to congratulate you all on y'all accomplishments. It's truly, truly, truly a magnificent accomplishment to finish something you start. It really is. What y'all boys got on that?
That is.
Can't disagree with that.
Want to send a shout out to, you know, my niece Danielle Martin. Congratulations. And Darian Gibson, congratulations on graduating this year. Now, welcome to the real world.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Let's get it popped.
Ready to go to school. Ready to go off to school. That might delay the real world a little bit.
And well, then that might be a little bit of the real world.
God.
Yeah, that's our internet for today. Boom, I'm going to turn the things over to you.
All right. We have the pleasure of having a guest with us this evening, author, actress, motivational speaker, life coach, and production and anything as far as entertainment-wise consultant. Ms. Siobhan Reed is going to join us this evening, and we'll go ahead and we'll get on the line.
Yeah, I'm excited. First one, can you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Good evening, Ms. Reed. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you all doing tonight?
Doing good. Doing good. About yourself?
I am excellent. Thanks for having me on your show.
Good.
All right. Well, definitely glad to have you with us this evening. Been looking forward to this for a few days now. First off, thank you for joining us. And why don't you give us just a little bit of background on yourself?
Certainly. Well, professionally, I am in the field of mass communications, and you listed a lot of the things that I do, but everything that you can think of as relates to in front of the camera, behind the camera, that's what I do. I conduct different workshops. I'm also a life coach, and I do consulting. So a good mix of things, but all falls under mass communications. And what I can say is that my passion in life is to be able to use all forms of communication in order to help to empower the lives of other people. And those areas focus on, you know, self-esteem, identifying your purpose, and creating a plan towards whatever those goals are.
Right.
Wow, sounds interesting. How you doing, Ms. Reed? I'm sorry, Bo. I want to introduce myself. I'm Derek Aaron, one of the co-hosts here. I just want to say, how you doing this evening?
I'm great. Thank you for introducing yourself. Thanks again for having me on.
Oh, no problem.
And look forward to seeing what the conversation holds for us.
Good. It will. I'm positive it will. And it's our pleasure. Bone, you had a topic you want to get into or something you want to do?
Nothing specific. I'm just.
You know what, Ms. Reed? And look at me, steady taking over from Bone. But the truth of the matter is, we just want you to come into the conversation and feel as if you are a host today, and just sit back, relax, and enjoy, you know, a candid conversation with us. That's okay.
Yeah, that worked for me. When I chimed in earlier, I was paying attention to your previous topic and thought it was interesting because there's a lot of perspectives based on people's religious and spiritual cultures that would kind of, impact what your conversation was about. So I'm on board for that. I can chime in on any subject matter, I'm sure.
Sounds good, then. We can get this ball rolling, then. With that, on the spirituality thing, I'm not trying to get into your personal business, but the actual question was, and I'll go back to it, so you can even chime in on it. It was a national poll done, and it was done on Christianity. And the question that was asked was, if Jesus suddenly came back to earth today, would he approve or disapprove of modern-day Christianity? And Go ahead.
I was going to ask, and you may be about to answer this question, but I was wondering, how do you define modern-day Christianity?
Right. Right. She posed the question of what is considered to be modern-day Christianity.
For me, I see Christianity as a religion, and I see modern-day religion, and I know I'm not necessarily answering Christianity. I guess I am in some way. But I see religion today being interpreted in the way that's beneficial to the person that's interpreting. And for me, I don't necessarily agree with it on all stance because, as our other co-host Corey like to say, it's a blueprint been laid out for. And if we believe in the Bible and we say that that's our the basis of Christianity, we should go back to that blueprint, not an interpretation that is taken from it. Because all interpretations are not good. We know that, and some are. I'm not saying everybody's interpretation is bad.
Right. Well,
pretty much the same.
Let's see.
I'm sorry, Ms. Reed,
well,
go ahead.
No, it's all right. When we say interpretations of the Bible, I may be deviating slightly here. I really think it starts with your personal relationship with God. I am a Christian, if you want to create a term for it. I was raised under the Christian faith. I was brought up to know Christ and Jesus, and if I did A, B, C, and D, then I would go to heaven. If I did E, D, F, then I would go to hell. So I was brought up understanding a structure or religious format of who God is. However, I'm so grateful that I literally got to a place in my younger 20s where I took myself out of the church. And let me explain. I did that because I remember sitting in church and I started to get vexed by the idea of what I thought was a format of what man created God and created worship to be. And my frustration led me to a place of walking with God by myself. And I felt like this was okay for me to do at the time because when you read the scriptures and you read of all the greats in the Bible, and every time God gave them purpose or an assignment, they were pulled away. God brought them to himself to have one-on-one time with him, whether that was a bush, whether I was going up in the wilderness, whatever it may be. There was a time where we as individuals must position ourselves to know God for who he is. So for me, I literally was about a year. I did not engage in any church atmosphere, but I literally started fasting and praying every day. I was in my closet. I dedicated and asked God to show me who he was. I even asked the question, I was so bold to ask the question, why do I believe in Jesus Christ? And the answer was, I believed in him because I was told to, because I was brought up to. Just like you go to other countries and you have kids who are brainwashed to believe that if they go kill somebody, they'll receive 7 virgins, whatever it may be. So I had to understand that Christianity and all of the forms of religion are something that's taught. It's something that can be a form of brainwashing. I like to think that God would like us to know him individually for ourselves, to be able to love him because we experience him, not because someone read a book or not because someone said, well, you should love God because that's what you should do. When I think about myself, I don't want anyone to just like me because of what they heard I can do, or they read a book and they think they know me. It's so much more meaningful to be chosen to be loved because someone got to know me on their own. So I'm saying that to say that when you go back into interpretation of the Bible and the scriptures, there's also a season in my life where I took one scripture, and 5 years ago I read it one way and it was a blessing to me. I understood, I knew God was coming into my life. 5 years later, it was the same scripture, and it had a different meaning to it, but it was an elevation of my thinking, and it still was a blessing to me. So I think a lot of times when you say the interpretation of the Bible, it really depends on where the person is in their own relationship with God, not because it's just what the pastor says or what society says, but it's where you are spiritually and how you can perceive God for yourself, because when we all pass, if you say, Jesus, if you want to pose the question, if Jesus comes tomorrow, well, pastor can't be up there with me and explain what my life is. Mom can't be up there with me explaining my life was. I have to be able to be accountable for myself. Again, that's my response, but I know I deviated a little bit. But that's my response.
No, you were fine. You were totally fine, and in response to and to respond back to what you were saying, totally, honestly, I feel the same way. And I know talking with my co-host here, and it's crazy because it seems like all the guests we get now, they agree with us, and it almost seems like it's planned. And I just want to put this out there on the air. This is not planned. We don't go out and look, try to find people who agree with us. We are open here, so it is what it is. But truth of the matter is, I totally believe that spirituality is between your relationship with God, and that's it. It's nothing outside of that. And if you understand that, everything else will work itself out. And I hope to express that in everything I do. You know what I'm saying? Everything I see, because I think it makes things a little more simple.
Right.
I agree with you 100%. It's your personal relationship with God. It's a personal journey that you're going on. And the answers that you receive throughout that journey, throughout those good and bad experiences, are meant for you. They're meant for your growth. They're meant to make you a better person. They're meant to strengthen your relationship with God. So I agree with you 100%.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, always think back to the scripture when it says that in order to worship God,
you must first stand away from it.
What's wrong?
I'm sorry?
Well,
sorry, Ms. Reed. Go ahead with your thought.
No, it's okay. I can tell there's a little bit delay in the channel here, but that's okay. No, I was just saying that I think one of the scriptures in the Bible that motivates me is when it talks about being able to worship God, and in order to worship Him, truly worship Him, you have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So that means to let go. You don't have to have drums, or you don't have to have music in order to be in a place of worship with God. It's a place of truth, and it's a place of spirit. So that's where I try to make sure that the strength of who I am is positioned, and I think oftentimes we get wrapped up on the package of how spirituality or religion should look versus what's really happening on the inner core of who we are. We're afraid to discipline our flesh. We're afraid to, fast, to pray, and do all those things that, makes our flesh uncomfortable. But in order to truly get to God, I think that element of sacrifice is necessary. It's really necessary. And you see those examples set forth in the scriptures as well.
Yeah, and I agree on that again. I'm gonna have to step back for a minute because I'm doing so much agreeing. But I totally believe that, when like you said, it's scriptures that point out the things that sets up our journeys and makes us understand the concept of spirituality. And like I was alluding to earlier with Corey, he always says there's a blueprint. We need to follow that. And the fact that you find insight in going back to those scriptures proves the fact that you understand, I don't want to say we all get it here, but we do, in a subtle way.
Absolutely.
Now,
I think there's a fair balance.
I apologize for the delay. We are having some technical difficulties.
Okay.
And I just now heard that I interrupted you again, Ms. Reed, and I apologize for that. We're going to try to fight through
this. It's your show.
Okay.
the fact, you're right. It is, but we want to make sure you feel comfortable. So we just want to make sure you feel comfortable. We're going to get it together. We're going to move forward. see, did you have a question? Bowen, did you have a question?
I did. Let's see. What I wanted to ask is kind of specific, and hopefully it's not too far off of where we're heading in this conversation, but what is the state of your community today?
When you say community, are you saying specifically in location, like where I live, or are you saying the African-American community, you know, youth community, where I work? Can you just define it a little bit more?
Oh, specifically your community, where I would, I guess what you would call your front line.
Well, my front line, well, let me just give a little background, additional background. I am contracted with a government agency where I spend a good portion of my time working with the interlocal community, specifically the African-American minority community, what you would call to some degree the underserved community. And what I can say, the state of that community is, I can definitely see that there's progress. There's there are opportunities that are being created. However, I also still see a major disconnect within with the people that are living within that community. And what I mean by that is that, you know, everyone has a vision for what they want for their lives, and people have visions for how they want their community to look. One of the biggest issues, I think, is bringing those ideas together to work together in order to see it come to fruition. Part of the problem is that there are different sectors that have a difficult time agreeing or have a difficult time sharing the responsibility without one person or one organization getting the glorification. We can fight each other for attention or for leadership versus recognizing that we're all gifted in different areas. How do we maximize those things? And all while we're arguing with each other, the government, the state, people in position are making decisions without you. They are making decisions without us. And until we can come to a place, a table together, it's hard for, let's say, the underserved community to complain about something that's not being done when, in fact, they're not at the city commission meetings to voice their opinion. They're not going to the neighborhood association meetings to find out what's happening in the community. But they're sitting back and they're wanting things to be done, but aren't in a position to either just utilize your voice or utilize your skills to contribute to whatever that cause is. So to answer your question, I think that's the biggest concern for the state of the community that I'm most involved in.
This is Corey.
Oh, okay.
I haven't spoken much because I've been running around with all these difficulties we've been having. But going along with what the answer you just gave, what possible solutions to that problem? How do we get people more involved? How do you get them to look at the bigger picture?
Right. Well, I think a portion of the gap includes a lack of education. And Corey, I'm not talking about education where everyone needs to go to college and get a degree. I'm not saying that. I'm saying being able to help the community understand what are the laws and the regulations that we abide by from a government and from a local government standpoint, as well as what's the structure of a community redevelopment area? How are funds being used? How are their tax dollars being used? How is this city itself, as an organization, how does that function? I think there needs to be more of a connection there. I think whether it's through workshops where you can educate them on how to make certain decisions or what the issues are is definitely an option for addressing the problem at hand. I also think that a responsibility lies with the government agencies to spend time with the community from a relationship standpoint, meaning what are the things that they're interested in? What are their biggest concerns? What language do they speak? You know, and trying to position ourselves where we understand them from a cultural standpoint versus they're underserved, they need money, or there are less education, there's less jobs in this area, but let's say why. Let's understand their culture. Let's see what some of their real challenges are. than just to assume this is a generation of people who don't care. I don't think that's the case. I do think that you have people who, you know what, they just don't care. They don't care about the community, don't care about their neighbor. They, you know, but there are enough people that I've also seen that are passionate. They want to know how to do something, but they just don't know how. And I think with government, it's easy for us to just point to the finger and say, well, we need a community leader. Well, some of the community leaders, they have the passion. They want to see something done. They actually care. But how are we equipping them to play that role, to operate in that position? So I think there's a joint responsibility on the community's end and a responsibility on the government's end and those employed by the government.
I agree with you 100%. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know if anybody else has anything.
No, I agree also.
I mean, we have had these types of conversations, and that is my standpoint. What I want to do, if I can, is kind of transition back into you. I know that you have a book,
mm-hmm.
The Discovery of You. The question I have pertaining to your book is, what was your motivation for writing a self-help book focused on self-awareness?
Good question. Thank you. Well, my motivation actually came from a very difficult season in my life. But prior to that, the idea, the concept of the Discovery of You was put into my spirit maybe when I was 25 or 26, I heard the Discovery of You, and the Discovery of You started with being a youth forum. And what it basically means is that with the pressure of society, pressure of entertainment, the pressure from our peers, the pressure from our parents, we're often molded by what people want us to be. And for youth, I knew that they were probably the generation the most who struggled with that, to wanting to be who they are freely and openly and knowing God for themselves, et cetera. So I did a series of youth forums where I would have youth comp be the panelists. They would be the lead. They would basically, adults would ask them questions to get to know them, to understand what are their major concerns. But out of that, those series of workshops and forums, Corey, I learned on my journey that this wasn't just a issue for 18 and under people. This was a much older situation because I met people in travel and adults who have said, you know, 60-year-old man once told me that he has spent his whole life, he's just now living his life because he spent his whole life being what his parents wanted him to be. And so now he's at a place where he's free in that. He's happy in who he is. And so I know that I heard God command me to write this book even during a time where I felt like I needed a little bit more emotional support. But my inspiration basically came for the need of the people, the need of what was in the atmosphere more than myself. I wanted to be selfish. I wanted to say, you know what, I don't want to write this book right now because I'm dealing with my own issues. But literally what happened is that I went to a shoot in St. Thomas, and when I got back, all of my equipment was malfunctioned. When I say all of my equipment, I'm talking about my laptop, the internal, external hard drive, and my camera was malfunctioned. Now, how this happened, I could have my speculations, but I'm not sure. But in that, it was a very humbling experience because I was forced to go back to clients and people and say, you know what, I lost your work. I lost, you know, tons of footage. I mean, I was working on a reality show for, you know, a football team. I was done editing it. I was ready to pitch it to networks. I mean, I had so much work tied into that. I had my own work. I mean, I couldn't even show people my work to get more gigs. So it was during a time where financially it was tough, emotionally it was tough. I was going through a divorce. It was multiple things that were happening to me. However, I felt in my spirit I could literally hear waking up at night, write. And so after an encounter of confirmation, I made a plan and I started writing. And I really think it was not because so much of me, but I think it was because of the need of the people who needed to get the book. And I know that now because of those who have ordered the book. I just had someone leave my place now who ordered 3 copies of the book, but the responses I'm getting from them, and most of them are not teenagers. Again, they weren't teenagers. I thought this was a teenager issue, but these are older people who are now being honest with themselves and saying, I don't know who I am. I am lost. What am I purpose for? Why am I the way that I am? You know, they're asking all these questions, and they're ready to kind of break out of whatever whatever has molded them into the person that they are. And with the Discovery of You, the book kind of takes, you know, universal issues and helps them define who they are and understand, even through struggle, why they may be who they are today and how to kind of move forward with what they want to become. I'm long-winded, I guess you can tell, so.
Awesome.
I was like, what did you say?
Awesome, that's all I can say. You said something that triggered something in me, and I wanted to go back and touch on it. You said you encountered confirmation. What exactly do you mean by that?
I was at an event where we were basically a grand opening of a new housing project. And it was an outdoor event, but I was standing there, and I was there on behalf of the government contract that I have. And a gentleman walked up to me, and he said, you know, ma'am, I don't know you, but I heard you speak months ago, sometime last year. This is him saying this. Sometime last year, and I have a word for you. And I've been trying to get it to you, but I don't know who you are. I've just heard you speak, and you left the event before I get to you. But I needed to tell you that God said that you have books within you that are key to such a time as this for the kingdom of God. He said, I see you autographing books, and there's a book in you that's supposed to come out. And I just smiled at him. He had to think something was wrong with me because stuff like that doesn't necessarily impress me other than it saying that God was moving. Again, confirmation. So I thanked him, and I said, well, you know what? I said, it's so funny because I hear right in my dreams. I hear it in the middle of the day. And I was literally just sharing with a friend, this is what I was saying to him, 3 days ago I was saying, I feel like I need to be writing. Like, I need to be writing. So after I received that confirmation, you know, God just took me back to some of the things that he already put within my heart. And that's what I would encourage anyone. Like, I hear people who say, well, I have a book in me. I've been trying to write this book for years and years. You know, you can't associate purpose with your timing versus God's timing. And for me, he brought me back to the Discovery of You, and I knew what I needed to do. And all this long, although I had the idea for the Discovery of You years and years ago, okay, I had been writing this book, and I didn't know I was writing it for years. I went back and I saw content, different articles, pieces of stuff that were here and there, and realized that it was truly God-given because, you know, I thought, hey, I was just writing this book in 2013, and I'm going to I mean, 2012, I'm going to release it in 2013. When all along, when I looked at the content, I started looking back in my files related to the Discovery of You, I had so much content or a lot of direction as to how I should structure the book. But, yeah, that was my confirmation. And once I received that, I was released. I knew then it wasn't about me, but it was about what God had assigned for me to do.
You know, Ms. Reed, and you're ministering to me right now, and I'm going to share something with you. It's funny how you got a confirmation, and now you're being a confirmation. I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, the transition you are giving to me, the process you're telling me you went through to get to the point to write your book, and it's reflecting me right now, because I feel the same thing. There's something telling me to write. And the truth of the matter is I have a lot of content laid away somewhere. I just haven't went to it and done it. And I feel the need to do it. And in this moment, hearing you saying it, it's my confirmation to say, do it.
Well, amen.
And I'm truthfully grateful for that. And I know it's God doing his work. And that's a blessing.
Yes.
That is truly a blessing.
Yes. Yes, it's God's work. It's definitely God's work. So I commend you on recognizing that. A lot of times we miss confirmation moments. We miss listening to God because we're so busy with everything else. We're so busy with what our plan is. And I'm one of those people. I'm a very strict. When people talk about Siobhan, I'm pretty much structured. I'm very structured. I can be, you know, this is how it needs to be. It's organized. Let's plan it. Let's execute it. Let's get it done. So I think it was necessary for me to have certain things literally stripped from me in order for me to sit down and write. Because if I didn't have my, if I had my laptop, if I had my equipment, oh, Siobhan would have been still producing her project. She still would have been doing her modeling. She still would have been doing all this stuff. But there's some things that God had to remove out of my sight in order for me to understand that it was this his timing to sow into another element of my purpose. You know what I mean? So I'm glad to hear you say that. Amen to that.
Thank you.
All right, this is Corey again. I have another question for you. And it comes from, I understand that there are few people who ever reach the level of understanding of how self attributes to problems and issues that we face in life. We tend to think that changing locations, changing jobs, changing friends, changing outside resources will change our situation without ever looking at self. Without being too personal or what you might call nosy, what led you to this awareness or understanding?
Well, because I really didn't know, and maybe you may say it this way, but even at a young age in terms of career, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but it was just life situations that kind of directed me to an understanding of what I thought I wanted to do. Personally, I've had a number of situations and people who were influences in my life that had strong opinions about what they thought they wanted for my life or what they saw for me. And I would say that it wasn't a tremendous portion, but it was a degree enough where it impacted me where I would try more of what other people wanted me to do versus really knowing for myself what I wanted to do. But I was also a type of person where I have a lot of, I wouldn't use the word exactly stubborn. I think some people miss the word stubborn with backbone or someone who just knows what they want. So I was in between situations where, yeah, sure, I was led by what other people wanted me to be. And then there was a part of me that said, you know what, I can't do it. Like I have a short patience with that. So I started to just really own up to what I wanted in my heart, even if I wasn't sure what I wanted, but I knew what I didn't want. And a lot of times people throw that out the water when they're defining their purpose. A lot of times knowing what you definitely don't want can lead you to what you really want for yourself or what God has for you. The things that piss you off or frustrate you are sometimes the very thing that you might be gifted to fix, you know? So for me, I think it was a mix of both. I think that was Corey who asked me that question. Again, I had situations that, yeah, I was more led by what people wanted. I was miserable in it. I did it because they wanted me to do it, and I was miserable. And then there was a time where, yeah, I was done with that aspect. And I think that's because all of us, we want to please people. We do. We want the people who are close to us, our parents, we want them to be proud. We want them to smile because of the decisions that we made in our lives. And a lot of times we get so wrapped up into making those decisions just because they want us to versus that's what God has assigned for us. And I'm a believer that God's not going to assign you something that you absolutely hate. It may be a push for you. You may not be in a mental state of mind to understand it all the way or to see the blessings of it all the way, but in the long run of things, it will not be something that you hate. It will not be something that makes you miserable or makes you doubt who God has called you to be.
All right, well, along those lines, I wanted to ask specifically for you, how did you know that you wanted to become a motivational speaker and life coach? What was that confirmation?
Well, because of my industry for from 2002 to 2010, I owned and operated a television and video production company. Well, I co-owned and operated a production company. And in that, I had opportunities to, you know, produce and host my own television show. So I did a lot of in front of the camera work and behind the camera work. This ended up spinning off to people requesting me to host their events, to coming to be a speaker or talk to the youth. And so with just getting those requests and doing it just because, when I was in the element of being in front of the audience or speaking to youth or, you know, corporations, whatever it may be, I felt more alive. I felt more at home. I felt like it was where I was supposed to be in my spirit than I had anywhere else. But the ultimate confirmation comes from not just how I feel, and I talk about this in areas of my book, but because the result of my actions was a blessing to other people. For example, there was a time where when I really wanted to take motivational speaking seriously and I wanted to get certifications and things like that that would make me more credible, I shared this with someone that was extremely close with me, very important to me, Corey. Think about the person that you talk to almost every day, you're connected with, you know, you talk about things that make you laugh, things that make you cry, et cetera. But this person, when I took this seriously and I took this idea to them, they said, how can you be a motivational speaker? You're so young, you've never really even been through it. They just thought they knew me enough to say that they questioned how could I be a motivational speaker. The thing is, Corey, that initially I agreed with them. I thought, well, maybe they're right. But why did I agree with them? Because they're so important to me. They're so close to me. I think they know me. I think they love me. And that's all true. They could love you. They could be close to you. But I took their advice, and for a minute I stopped pursuing it. But I had an opportunity with my production company. I was doing another event, and I ended up sharing my testimony on stage just in the middle of nowhere, just sharing a testimony. And after that testimony, I was approached by a woman who said, Siobhan, thank you for sharing with me what you've been through, because tonight I had every intention of committing suicide. And thank you, because now that you've given me hope. And now this is an atmosphere where, let's say, there's 300 to 500 people. It's like a praise event. So people were just, you know, all around. And in the middle of the seat, I'm hugging and embracing this woman that no one knew that she was about to commit suicide. But she pulled me aside to let me know. And I'm so grateful when people do that. That's why I tell people that they blessed you, because you never know what's really going on. You never know how difficult it was for me to share my testimony. So in turn, you encourage each other. So she told me what her intentions were, and she was just crying. She was aching. It wasn't the music. It wasn't the preacher. It wasn't anything else that moved her, but it was me sharing that testimony. That's not me esteeming myself. That's just me saying that God uses people to minister to individuals. We don't all accept or be received, or our life's not changed by the same atmosphere, the same person, the same church, the same book, the same. So God needed to use me for her. If it was only her that night, then that was okay with me. So that experience evolved into me really looking at how the other things, such as my writings, my articles, and the emails I get from people who say that they heard me speak, they read my article, and how it touched their lives. I mean, I've heard men tell me that because I shared my testimony, that they want to be a better man or they know God. So it's not about me, but my goal in life has always been God. Help people to see you through me. Help people to see you through me. And that should be all of our missions. It's not about, it's not so much about what we do, but how God uses us to get closer to his people. So that's what happened to me. I get emotional thinking about it because I think I don't even know where she is now, but that God used me, and that was the confirmation.
You know, Ms. Reed, yeah, I mean, this is a remarkable, remarkable conversation we're having with you. And I really, really genuinely want to tell you I appreciate your feedback and your understanding and being able to openly express it. I have a question, and I'm going to put this out there first. I'm a believer in that spirituality leads us, and if God puts me in a position to do something, that's fine. If he puts my wife in a position to do something, that's fine also. I don't see men and women. I see God, and I think you reflect
right.
the same thing if I'm hearing correctly.
Thank you.
Being in the industry you're in and being a woman of power, I would say, from my understanding, and from what I would agree also that you're a woman of power and in a position of authority, do you find it's hard or do you find obstacles that you may not see your counterparts that may be males having for yourself?
You're saying males being, I'm sorry, the last part of that, males being happy for me? I think I missed something. Could you repeat the question?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm saying you being a female in the line of work that you're in and being a position of power, do you
mm-hmm.
find that your counterparts, which may be males, do you see they have the same, do you have different issues or different obstacles in them, or are there more obstacles for you than there is opposed to them in the same position?
I see. I think we, for the most part, I think we have similar issues. However, being a woman and being a woman who also, how do I say it without sounding like an arrogant jerk? Being a woman who, let's say, my presentation is favorable. You know, people get wrapped up in how I may look, let's say that. And with that comes obstacles for any woman, whether you're beautiful or whatever it may be. There are obstacles that you face being a woman in this kind of position. And especially when I had my own television show and being in the entertainment industry, you get approached with a lot of, you know, just inappropriate offers and things that can really hurt. Well, I'm just saying, just hurt you. Guys can be jerks. And I'm not talking about you two. I'm just saying they'll be impressed by, oh, you're a sharp woman, you're doing this, you're doing that. And then they approach you with a mess. I mean, it's like, how are you going to approach me like that? Oh, I'm all that, but you're going to approach me like that. So I think, I think for women in this position, even when I do my modeling, people may tend to think I'm stuck up, but I keep a little distance only because I don't try to get the impression that you can approach me in that manner. But sometimes it doesn't matter how you carry yourself. Some men are just bold enough to try you either way. And I know it's a little deviation from your initial question, but I do think that part of the struggle is being a woman. And society thinks that women should just kind of lay out for whatever most men desire or want. I'm almost borderline feminist. That's not fair to say, but when I say that, I say it jokingly because I think because of what I've been through, I tend to stand up for women who are trying to stand up for themselves. Let's just say it that way. But yeah, I do think that's a very good question. I like your question. I wish I could answer it more effectively, but that's probably the biggest issue that I've seen. I mean, I've had some incredible opportunities for contracts, interviews, but yet it turned sour because the man wasn't willing to move forward with it unless I slept with him. And I've had very frank approaches like that. I mean, he offers of thousands of dollars to sleep with me. I mean, there's the things that are out there, and these are people that I could name names, and they could be celebrities. There could be people you think are respectable. Because they have a successful business. Oh, so, okay, I guess I look like I'm going to sleep with you because you're a millionaire. I mean, just that comes. Those kind of treatment comes, and it does make it difficult. It makes it difficult to trust, to be in a relationship because you're not sure what people's intentions are, just like with men. If you are successful, the other end of the stick, it's hard to trust women because many women today are more motivated by what a man has versus how his heart is or, you know, his ability to partner with you. So, I mean, to answer your question, that's what I have. That's what I got.
Okay. Corrigan, and I'm going back to the book for a second. from the synopsis of the book, or what I read, I would come to the conclusion or assume that the introduction in chapter one can be considered kind of like the groundwork of where you're going. Chapters two through five are the meat or main subjects, and six through seven are motivators. That's, you know, how you move forward from what you just learned.
Yes.
Based on that, would you agree or disagree, right or not? By the way, I don't read a lot, but I do want to read this based on, you know what I mean, this conversation, and I wanted to read the book when I read the synopsis because I think it's something I personally would be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I just threw that out there. And we'll get a plug to plug the book in a second. But yeah, based on what I just said, do you agree or disagree with that's where you were going with writing the book?
Yeah, absolutely. That's where I was going. Really, the discovery of you could have so much more than seven chapters, but I pull out areas that I thought were universal that we all go through. Being such thing as communications, you know, culture and society, relationships, you know, things that happen in life, religion and spirituality, as we talked earlier, and then purpose. So it's definitely a flow, and I try to hit on those categories because I feel that those are some of the most prevalent universal issues that can alter or shape who we are as individuals.
Oh, okay. Well, good. And answer my question earlier when this is Derek, when I was asking you about the difference in between male and female and being in a power position, you answered it accurately. So I'm gonna say that for you because I know you were saying,
oh.
I don't know if I could turn. No, you didn't turn. But you also opened my eyes to something. I've never really looked at it from the standpoint of like when men get in position of power and how women may throw themselves at them, how we see it as a good thing as a male. And then we don't realize that women in a position of power have the same obstacle. You know, it's crazy that you just see it from your side of view, and I've never seen it, but in hearing you answer that and you explain it to me, it gave me that insight. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and I think it's a good question. I'm glad that it opened up your eyes.
Real quick, I want to throw one out there for you, Ms. Reed.
Okay. This is Corey.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I'm sorry, this is Billy. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
And what my question was what was your first acting or voiceover role?
Oh, gosh. I couldn't pinpoint the actual project because I've done so many of them, and many of them there were projects that my company at the time, Melical Productions, did. So when I did television commercials, I found that I was also good at doing voiceovers. So many of them were commercials that were aired here locally, or they were commercials that were just aired on different networks from Atlanta, et cetera. So it varies. It actually varies specifically in terms of what type of commercials. I couldn't even tell you what was the first commercial. I did a voiceover last week for a television commercial I produced. So I remember doing a series of shows for a Republican campaign for the Republican Party, voiceovers for that. Yeah, just different commercials here and there.
Oh, what? Well, I asked you a real general question and something more lighthearted and more free-spirited, I guess. Well, not that it's not, but are you into sports? Do you like sports? What's your favorite team?
My gosh.
Do you go out, bowling? What are some of the things you like to do? Because we know you're a business lady and we know you're about your business, but on the other side.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Thanks for asking. I personally, first of all, I love sports. Basketball is my favorite sport. I played basketball in high school, like, my last 2 years, and we won state championships. But I wasn't, like, a ball or anything. I was just a part of the team. But from that, I've always had a love of sports. I played soccer when I was younger. I don't have a favorite team except for the NFL. My favorite team is San Francisco 49ers, and I've been a 49ers fan since I was in grade school. I love 49ers because Steve Young, you know, and Jerry Rice is just a perfect combination. I love Steve Young, how he used to run the ball. He'll take a hit. He and me had so many concussions. So he wasn't afraid to run the ball. So I love that combination. Haven't really seen that combination since, but I think Kaepernick is a good young player. I think that he still has a lot to learn, but that's my team in turn NFL. The NBA, I don't have a favorite team. I like the Spurs. I don't know why I like them. I think I like them just because I wanted to go for the underdog last year for the playoffs. Everybody's going for the Heat, so I'm like, you know what, I'm going for the Spurs. But in terms of basketball, I mostly go for players than I do the actual teams. There are certain players I like. I just like the sport, honestly. I'm not even a big fan of any particular individual. I just like the plays. I just like to see, you know, great teamwork, great hustle, use of the ball, passing of the ball. I like when I see a team who can really execute that. So that's what excites me the most than just one team or one player. Oh, yeah, some of the other stuff. I do other stuff. My hobbies are minimum. I like writing. I love movies. And I just like being in environments that when you can be intimate with people that you're close to, it doesn't matter where we are, just, you know, as long as we're, you know, hanging out together and can laugh. So I like to laugh. I need to laugh. I have a very serious career.
Okay, this is Corey again. Like I was saying, good answer on the 49ers. Everything else doesn't matter.
Yeah, right.
If you're a 49ers, then you can't go wrong.
You have a 49ers fan. I'm another fan.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said we have another 49ers fan.
Absolutely, absolutely. Die hard.
Okay.
All right, in transitioning to your corporation, Echolove Enterprises, if you would, give us a little bit of history on the company and maybe its mission and who you intend to reach.
Certainly. Well, basically everything that I do falls under Echolove Enterprises. And basically it's a communication and social development network. And with that, I do workshops, seminars, speaking engagements, life coaching, and all of it centers around being able to help empower individuals, as well as small businesses. The consulting side of my company, that's where, I guess, working with small businesses comes into play. I help them to, you know, identify some of their needs, as well as put together communication plans, as well as corporate writing. For example, there are many people who start businesses and start companies that they have an idea, they know what their service is, but they may not know how to really explain that to the audience. So people come to me to help write up their, whether it's their business plan or whether it's their marketing material or whether it's their commercials. I'm kind of like, I guess you can say like a mobile marketing company. And I say marketing company in terms of a grassroots level because there are so many people who they don't have the funds to have their own communications or marketing person in-house. So I build their communication plans. I help connect them with the right individuals, photographers, designers, et cetera, to bring off the vision that they want for their company. Because I think that's a big weakness for people, that they know their service, but they don't know how to communicate that service. So I'm there to help them with that process. And I also do ghostwriting. I'm actually ghostwriting for a book currently, someone out of L.A. writing their book for them. And, you know, corporate writing, people's content for their website, et cetera. So, yeah, that's Echolove Enterprises.
Wow. You're just busy, 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 busy. But as you pointed out, you do find time to enjoy yourself. And like you said, you like sports, you like certain players, so I'm going to throw this out there. Because we've been having this ongoing debate. Do you believe that LeBron James could ever be greater, I don't even think that's a word, I just made up a word again, or better than Michael Jordan?
I'm kind of stuck on Michael Jordan. I am, and maybe it's because of my generation. LeBron James absolutely has skill. He's definitely a legend in this industry. But it's hard for him being better than Michael Jordan to come out of my mouth. And I don't know, maybe it's because of how I look at people. I look at people as individuals, so here I go being philosophical when you just really want a response. But it's hard for me to compare people to that extent. I know we're talking about talent, but it really is hard for me to do that. I mean, unless you want to put statistics against statistics, then you can vote easily as to who's the better player. But even with that, you see that Michael Jordan still surpasses LeBron's statistics. Even if it's just by a little bit, he still holds, you know, many of the records, unless I've been given something wrong. But, you know, LeBron might in fact beat those records. Who knows? They both, I wish we could see them play against each other. It would be even better.
Good answer. Good, safe answer. I don't necessarily have a question. I guess the question would be, do you have any questions? Anything I want to open the floor to you? If there's something you want to say or, you know, just get out to the general public about anything, promote yourself, whatever it might be.
I appreciate that. One of the things in terms of events, I am in the process of finalizing a seminar coming up July the 19th that I'll be holding in Bradenton, Florida. And that seminar is going to be centered around communication skills in life and business, helping people to, you know, build life plans and communication plans for themselves. And I'll also incorporate a portion of the book. I believe it's important to have a career outline for yourself, but it's also important to have a life outline for yourself. So I am developing that content, and we'll start advertising that in the next week. For people who are interested in my book, The Discovery of You, it has its own website, which is thediscoveryofyou.com. There are videos on there. There's descriptions of each of the chapters on there. What else? Echo Love has its own website, echo-luv.com, that talks about my services. I'm also in the process of building a separate website. It's a standalone website that's the link is SiobhanReed.com. I'm doing that to kind of give a little bit separation from my business to that encompasses everything that I do, including my modeling, et cetera, and mentoring. So that site is going to be a fabulous site, and I'll probably just use that as a main site because it would take you to everything else that I just said. So in the future, I would say just go to SiobhanReed.com and you would be able to find anything related to what I do on that. And that will be launched next week. So SiobhanReed.com. Yeah, that's me. And I'm grateful for this opportunity that you all have allowed me to share with you today. You guys have been extraordinary hosts and very fun and very engaging. And I want to encourage you all to continue doing what you're doing. And I think today we had a great partnership.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. I think I speak for everybody when I say that.
Yeah, appreciate it. Really appreciate it. Well, just real quick, I wanted to touch on, I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but you have an organization that's involved in human trafficking and just this ongoing issue that is growing in our area, which is kind of surprises me, but I know it's on a big national table now with the young ladies in Nigeria. I just wanted to hear some information or just get your thoughts on that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for bringing that up. I would have shot myself had I not mentioned it, but I have recently, kind of collaborated with a company called More to Life, and their website is moretolife.org, but it's owned and founded by Dr. Brooks Bello. And Dr. Brooks Bello, she is a survivor herself. She was a victim of human sex trafficking at a young age and spent years being tormented and going through what we, you know, what we hear being very, you know, tremendous abuse that our youth, and not just youth, but women and men endure many of them on a daily basis, but this organization is truly committed to advocating for the victims. That's trafficking, that's rape, that's incest, that's prostitution, you know, that's, you know, restoration for justice, and we also have demand prevention programs as well. This organization is so important to me and important to the community, and my involvement is going to really expand within the next couple of months because I really want to give more time because it's such a universal need, like you said. And one of my biggest concerns, Derek and Corey, is that I know it's important for us to heal and find prevention and treatment for our victims. But we also have to get to the root of the problem and start mentoring and coaching the people who are committing the crime. We need to get to them and their mentality. And many of them are the same people who were molested or raped at a young age. And that spirit, is what I'm going to call it, has attached itself to them, and now they are doing to other people what was done to them. So it's a big issue, and it's going to take not just more to life, but it takes more partnership. It takes money. And that's the sad part. We find money to pay, you know, $1 million for our athletes. We find millions of dollars to build, you know, prisons and things like that. But in terms of prevention and stuff that's healing the souls of people, we always are scarce with money. Oh, I don't have any money. We don't have any money. Government doesn't have any money. So we are this is such a major need, and it affects all of us. It affects our economy. It affects our kids. It affects our education. It's a big issue, and I just want to, again, just if you can, just visit the moretolife.org website, find out more information. There's a national hotline that we have on the website for those who are – because a lot of these women, a lot of these young girls, they're in situations they can't get out of. They have a pimp. They have someone that's next to them that they can't even be rescued. So a lot of times with More to Life, we'll travel to different states and different countries in order to do rescue missions. And it's serious. It's that serious. And you think it's not happening in your backyard, but it is. It's happening in your neighbor's home. It's happening on the streets. It's happening in schools. So what we do also is try to bring awareness to the community by holding training programs. We have a training program that's coming up this Saturday on the 7th of June. It's going to be at Harvest Tabernacle in Sarasota, Florida, starting at 8:30 a.m. But it's time for us to bring more awareness to the community so that they can recognize situations that may be a reflection of human trafficking. I'm just, as you can see, I'm really excited about this because it's about addressing a universal issue. It's about being in the trenches. So there's one thing I said for myself, I didn't want to just be someone who's on stage talking. No, I want to be in the trenches. I want to understand what's happening in our community, and I want to be one of the people who has the influence and has the resources to help people get out of tangible, unfortunate situations and not just giving them an hour speech and they feel excited, you know, just because you made them excited and then they go back into doing whatever. So this is a part of that. This is a nonprofit that I can guarantee you any investment that you make, whether it's volunteering, whether it's $20, you know, here and there, it goes towards an enormous cause. We have people coming in this office every day who are broken, and they don't feel like they have anywhere to go to. These are same people who may have been hurt by the church, and they don't feel like they don't have anywhere to go to. So thank you. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about More to Life. It's an incredible company founded by Dr. Brooke Bellow. So definitely check it out.
Well, definitely, because the fact that it's an issue here terrifies me. Being a father of, you know, a young girl and, you know, two young boys, and you know, we see these kids disappearing on a daily around in our own area. It used to be an issue that we would only see on the news other places, but now it's happening here, and it terrifies me. And E, I'm going to call you E. I'm going to take it back to MTC, and I'm going to call you E. You know, left me out twice now. This is
you're
Billy.
You're right now. You do.
But I'm going to give you them two, just a couple of mistakes, and I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to my boy Dad.
Well, I want to commend you. I really want to commend you. And this is personally from Derek, but as a whole collective, TOAB, we commend you. Because the advocacy that you are pushing for and the advocation that you are in developing for the future, for the commitment of unity in the community, for the overall hold, is so profound. It's very profound. And I'm telling you, just sitting here with you today having this conversation, it has been very enlightening. It has been very enlightening on many stages for me, not just on a personal stage, but just on an overall stage to know. It's always confirming. It's a confirmation for me when I can talk to someone and my understanding is understood. You know what I'm saying to me? And that's a beautiful thing. And that's what I got here today. And I thank you for that. I really do thank you for that.
Well, thank you both. Thank you. And thank you for sharing. This has been a blessing.
Well, this is Corey again. I want to say thanks for, you know, taking time out of your schedule to sit down and have this conversation with us. Also for putting yourself, for opening yourself up. I want to say putting yourself up. For opening yourself up to be used. Like I said, I want to read your book because I'm pretty sure there are some things that I would take from it that I can use in my own personal life. I think that can be a difficult thing for people who have gifts that require exposing things about themselves, that requires going into my dark closet to possibly help somebody else. So I appreciate you for that. I want to say thanks again. I didn't get the opportunity to involve myself in the beginning of the conversation. Like I said, I was fighting these technical issues we had going on, but from what I gather, I think we have pretty much the same understanding on the spiritual, I won't say religion, on the spiritual aspect of the conversation. And I hate I missed the opportunity to chime in, but for those who got it, I hope you got something out of it.
Amen.
We invite you back anytime you're open and free to come back. And again, thanks for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure, guys. Thank you. Have a great evening.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Oh,
no
thank
problem.
You very much.
The pleasure is all ours.
Okay, bye-bye.
With that, boys, I guess, man, we had an excellent, excellent guest today.
Yeah,
I mean, and there's no way around that. You know what I'm saying? There's no way really around that. You could say, hey, she agree with everything you agree with, but that's okay. I don't care what. I do care what's being said. I'm trying to get away from saying I don't care. And I'm making that known on the air. So if you hear me saying I don't care, say, hey, then you say you weren't saying that no more. Because I'm trying to get away from that. Because I think I say it in times when I do care about things, but I'm trying to prove a point. And it goes back to what Ms. Reed was saying. We want to please everybody else so much, you find yourself doing negative things because it's pleasing to the next person to hear that.
Right.
And that's not really what you should be doing, you know?
It's that acceptance factor.
Right. Just accept the fact that I do care, but the fact that you don't get it, it bothers me. So I'm saying I don't care.
What I'm hearing is that by any means, it's easier to accept being accepted by any means,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to being myself
by any means. That's true.
It's not an easy thing, but the gift that you give to the world, you know what I mean, just by being who you were created to be by any means.
That shows the difficulty of finding your true purpose, especially someone that wants, you know, their parents and their loved ones to accept them and accept the things that they do.
Right.
And how you could easily miss out on what is meant for you or what God has meant for you just simply because you're trying to please other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? And you say that, boy, and that's the same thing I was hearing Ms. Reed saying. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what she was saying. Like she said, she went to somebody she loved and really cared about. And they did love and care about her, but they didn't see what God had seen for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it discouraged her. And I think we all have felt in this one. Even to the fact that listening to Ms. Reed, I understood I discouraged myself. Nobody else did. I discouraged myself just because I felt, no. But the truth is, yeah. You know what I mean?
Because you had that thought, you had that feeling, you had it for a reason.
Yeah,
Yeah. And the moment you talk yourself out of it is when, I mean, in talking about being accepted, we, I don't want to say we, I have found myself fighting to gain acceptance for something I cannot explain why I did or why I feel that way. And it's because I adopted the feeling or the thought or the whatever from the opinion of somebody else. So I can't explain it. It's not mine. But because I wanted to be accepted by a specific group or by a specific person, I altered my true identity, I'll say, to fit in. And then when I look like I don't fit in and try to explain it, I can't.
It makes sense.
It's a simple concept, but it's something that sometimes is hard to do, I'll say. But again, I appreciate the conversation we had with her.
I appreciate her patience.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, for her patience and her professionalism. Appreciate that. It was second to none.
I mean, honestly, because it, like you pointed out, Corey was having a couple of difficulties and trying to get it together. But it, and you know what? I'm gonna put this on the end. I usually don't put that just go this far, but we were so tangled up that we forgot our prayer.
Number two. I was waiting to get off.
We forgot our prayer before this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I thank you, God, for allowing me to see that.
Absolutely.
And understand that, yeah, you allow me to do it, but you ain't going to allow me, you're going to bring me back to the understanding, hey, take me with you.
Right.
And I don't think we intentionally did it.
No, it was just you got caught up.
And it's always a reminder that. It's always that reminder that. And it's not, you know, we learn it. And that's what it's all about. We learn it, and we're willing to learn.
It's crazy that you would say that. And I have been sitting here for the last 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Like,
you was waiting
the
to
reason
out.
Why
yeah.
this whole thing was happening is because we forgot number two when TOA began for.
Yeah.
We forgot it. We didn't do it. But either way, brought us through it, as rocky as it might have been. I hope anybody listening, I hope you were able to take something out of it. Again, I want to read this book.
Yeah.
And I say I don't read often because I don't. I'm not one who picks up a book and reads it from cover to cover. But this one is one I think I should invest some time in.
I even see myself going to the seminar here locally.
I would love to do that.
I even see myself going to the seminar. I mean, I'm listening to Ms. Reed on his show, and I'm like, motivational speaker, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's natural.
Yes, it's just so natural. I mean, and it's coming from a place where, and this is me as a person because I'm so passionate. It's coming from a place where her passion was overtaking her at times. But she wasn't apologetic for that. You know what I mean? And I love seeing that in a person because that shows me confidence. But that confidence comes from God.
Yeah, okay.
That's not cockiness. That's confidence from God. When you can talk and your passion builds up so strong that it comes out and you can't control it, but you're okay with that.
Yeah, why is it wrong?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Yeah. We've been taught that.
The only thing that's wrong is that you can't accept
right.
the fact that I stand firm in what I'm saying and what I believe. That's all. I mean, I think we all should... Strive to attain that type of passion in whatever it is you believe. Nobody's here to tell you what to believe. Just stand on what you believe, and it'll work for you.
That's true.
If we're telling you anything, that's what we're telling you.
Yeah.
Believe what you want to believe.
Yeah.
And believe it wholeheartedly.
Yeah, and you know what? And we continue to say it. I don't know if we realize it, that TOB is about being open, and we open to your opinions. That's the same sentiment.
Yeah.
What we're saying, you know what I mean? Believe what you believe. Be who are you. You are. That's okay. That's okay, because we had to figure it out. And we still are in the process of figuring it out. I mean, and we talk about this a lot off air, but I really believe it. I don't think it's for, and Corey, you've said this before, I don't think it's for us to get here. You're not supposed to stay here anyway, so what is it for you to do here besides God's will? The blessing and the big car or big house and stuff we think that we're looking for ain't even your blessing. What you're going to get is coming to you. It might not be here. It might be on the streets of gold. Mine is. Ain't nothing here compared to when I see Jesus. Ain't nothing here compared to that. I'm telling you straight up right now. That's for real. That is for real. And I used to be, I'm going real deep, but I used to be scared to go to sleep at night because I didn't think I would see the next day. And this all happened after I came back from Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And I dealt with it for a long time. I dealt with this, maybe it's been 2 years I've been through this. And I dealt with it for a long time. I prayed on. Now, I go to sleep at night, sometimes, and selfish as this may seem, hoping I don't get up because I'm going to see Jesus.
to somebody with a, I don't want to say twisted, but without a full understanding, would say you sound suicidal.
Yeah,
that's right. A suicidal statement.
Yeah.
No, it's not that it's suicidal. And I'm saying that not knowing how you think, but
yeah.
Because I feel like I know you well enough to say this, it's not a suicidal statement. It's just I'm confident and I'm firm in the fact that what's next is better than where
yeah.
I am. So why wouldn't I?
That's a faithful
yeah.
statement.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nothing but pure faith, that statement right there.
Hey, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
I do too.
Like I said, I hate that I couldn't get in the beginning of the conversation, but it's probably a reason for that, because
yeah.
we probably would have stayed on that a little longer than we maybe wanted to.
That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. If something's out there to be put out there, and we got the time. Wait. We got all the time God give us to do what we need to do.
There
so ain't no time limit on this thing. We ain't going to put no time limit on it. We're going to keep rocking and rolling. We're going to keep bringing it back to you. We'll be back on Wednesday with something for you. Boy, what y'all got from?
Hey, that's it, man. We'll see you on Wednesday. I don't know what we're doing, but we'll do it. If God allow me to see it.
Been a pleasure. It's been fun. Thanks again, Ms. Reed, for joining us today. Can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, man. I got a burning in me right now. We got a little time, but I ain't going to go into it. I'm going to hold off because it might come in Wednesday show. So I'm going to hold off. But
you sure you want to hold off? If it came to you,
there you go. There you go. There you go. And then Bone looking like, why are you backing off from
it? Let's talk.
I want to say this. Everything that we do here at TOAB is not always going to be perfect. And we understand that because we know for understanding, because our spirituality teaches us, we ain't going to be perfect. In today's show, what I got out of it, from the understanding of the technical difficulties and everything else going on, but the message from Mrs. Reed, and then the message we all rescinded from ourselves was, you cannot be undisputed, undefeated, no recipe to be beat. My God. Good Jesus.
Amen.
That's the Sunday message for
there
the
you go.
With that being said, lock your doors and open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Boys in unison. T-O-A-B. Out.
There's a fine line.
Love and hate, you see. Can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. There's a fine line between love and hate, you see. Can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. Can't worry about what a nigga think to see. And that's liberation, and baby, I want it. Another nigga think, now that's liberation, and baby, I want it.
Let me hear it.
I'm in a time, I sit back and contemplate, a fresh off the tank when I'm telling my story. My relationship with my folks is give and take, and I done took so much, now giving my glory. Left over to me, and my mama and them told me. I say I have a choice to be who you want to be. It's left over to me, and my mama and them told me.
I'm so tired, been so long struggling, hopelessly settling for the day.
shake it low, low, 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 shake it low, low.
Focus. Then from the Glock rounds and lockdowns and burials, the seeds that sow get devoured by the same locust. Cause it's a hard road to hoe if your ass don't move and the rain don't fall and the ground is dry, but the roots are strong, so some survive. To your surprise, now my voice they cries. You got more juice than Zeus, slinging lightning trying to frighten the plains dwellers of the Serengeti, but get beheaded when you foster dreaded. Melanin, silicone, and collagen injected. Dissecting my pride, who the one gon' get it started? We be the lion hearted, without infanticide. It's like that red sprite, you can't imagine. Unless you're looking at the canvas of life, not through the peephole of mortality. Single-minded mentality, getting over on loopholes. Getting paid twofold on technicalities. Clicking your heels, scared to voice how you feel. Packing steel, picking cotton from the killing fields with no total. I don't think we in Kansas, no moto. Midwest or dirty south, clean dress or dirty mouth. Whether robbing preachers or killing poor righteous teachers, you a scared demon, shouldn't be allowed to spread semen. And your cowardly lines never define the jackals of Babel. Running with they pack, tell between your legs, throw the mane on your head, say the story. As you downplay your glory, cackling, helping the shackling of your brethren happen. Just by rapping, Libertad, Libertad, Libertad.